I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I'ma get a scholarship to King's College. I probably shouldn't brag, but dag, I'm amazed and astonished. The problem is I got a lot of brains, but no polish. I gotta holler just to be heard with every word. I drop knowledge. I'm a diamond in the rough. A shining piece of coal, trying to reach my goal, my power of speech.
Welcome back, high school hockey fans, for this week's edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. I'm Mike Hammett, my panel of experts, if you want to call them that. Bill Berg Jr., Trasher, and Del Scanlon. Let's move to get things started with the game recaps of the week. Trasher put on some miles. He went to go see a couple games this week. And Michael, you'll be more than happy to spill the beans about them.
Well, MJ, I might not be more than happy, but I will be happy. And the first game recap that I'm going to do is the Hudson at Eau Claire Altoona Stars, which took place on Thursday evening at Hobbs Ice Arena. On a very chilly evening, it was almost minus 20 by the time I got back. Started out 2-2 after one period. It looked like a fairly even game, and then Hudson took over. In the second, they scored four goals to make it 6-2. They scored the first goal 4 minutes into the third period to take a 7-2 lead, a very commanding lead, except for one minor detail. Nobody told the Stars that. They scored two goals in 14 seconds to cut it to 7-4. And then a little bit later on, they scored a couple goals in 3 minutes to cut it to 7-6 with less than 3 minutes left. But unfortunately for the Stars, Anna Wilgren, we'll talk about her later, scored an empty netter to account for the 8-6 final in that game. Shots were about even, 31-25 in favor of Hudson. And in that game, Wilgren faced off against one of the other elite players in the state, ECA Stars forward Abigail Stowe. Wilgren had a little bit better of it in the game. 4 goals, 3 assists for 7 points. Abigail Stowe, 3 goals, 2 assists. So we got to see two of the top players in the state in that game. Looked like Hudson had it wrapped up. Eau Claire had different ideas, but it ended up Hudson with an 8-6 win. I also, then, the following evening, when I made it back to my hometown, drove over to Stevens Point to watch the Community Parks Classic Hockey Tournament at KB Willett that Spash hosts every year. It was 19th annual. And in the second game of the evening, USM took on Spash. Spash scored first in the first period. Cole Caulfield scored on a power play. Then University School came back in the second on goals by Logan Geisness and Brandon McGill to take a 2-1 lead into the third period. And it took 11 minutes for the score to change. Caulfield scored his second goal of the game with a little over 5 minutes left. That's how the period ended. 2-2, they went to overtime, but that didn't last very long. Cole Caulfield playing out on top between the two defensemen on a D-to-D pass, broke it up, grabbed the puck, went down ice on a breakaway. You probably saw the picture on the slideshow. He made a couple of deeks, got the goalie down, stuck to the ice, and he just slid it around it for the game winner 27 seconds into the overtime period. And Caulfield scored all 3 goals in that game.
Was it a triple deek?
It was at least a double deek.
Okay.
I didn't count them all. I was busy taking pictures. I probably could look. But it was a nice move, and the goalie had no chance. That's how good of a move it was. A lot of times the goalie will get close and maybe get a toe on it or something. He was about 2 feet away from the puck. Spash doubled up on shots in the game, 28-14. And it was a good game. Spash, obviously, fourth rank, came in as the favorites, but University School has a lot of nice players on the team. Logan Geisness is a good player, and they have also a freshman defenseman by the name of Casey Repke that, although his stat line in the game didn't show it, he's a pretty solid player for a freshman at the varsity level, and they think that he's going to be a star in the next couple years. So Spash outdid University School in that game 3-2 in overtime. And that is all I have for game recaps. If we have no further questions, I will send it back to MJ.
All right. Thank you very much, Michael. Our Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Games of the Week. We'll get to those now. Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine provides cutting-edge personalized sports performance and injury prevention programs, training with world-class experts, state-of-the-art facilities, and technology. That is the Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine. Let's start out with the ladies first. Metrolinx and Appleton United got together. Dell, you were at that game.
Thanks, MJ. Yep, I made my first trip up to the Appleton Family Ice Center ever and covered the Metrolinx and Appleton United in a breast cancer awareness game. The first period stayed really tight, and finally the Lynx were able to get on the board late in the period as Julia Dragoo scored an even strength goal assisted by Sierra Pettit and Kara Epping. And that was the scoring for the first period. A nice tight period. Both teams moving the puck up and down the ice and getting shots off, but that was the only score that came off of a breakaway. And then early in the second period, the Lynx bumped the lead to 2 as they were able to take advantage down on the far end of the ice to take the 2-0 lead. And the United came back about 4 minutes later to cut the lead in half on a power play goal by Madison Schultz. And that was as close as Appleton United would get, as the Lynx went into the third period, scored around 30 seconds into the period to bump the lead up to 2, and then put it away with 59 seconds left in the game to win the game 4-1. Kara Epping ended up finishing the game with 2 goals and an assist. But, you know, it was a nice, tight game throughout, but the Lynx just were able to outlast them and get a few better shots on net. And if there's no questions on that game, I'm going to go ahead and pass it on over to Trasher for the boys' game of the week.
All right. Thank you, Del. The boys' game of the week was the second half of my doubleheader over at Eau Claire Hobbs. Hudson Raiders coming to pay visit to the Eau Claire Memorial Old Abes in our Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine game of the week on the boys' side. And it pitted number 1 Hudson against number 6 Eau Claire Memorial. I think they were 6th. And it was a good game, back and forth, a lot of energy, Not a lot of scoring, and then being 4-3, each team scored in the first period. Each team scored in the second period. And in the third period, Eau Claire was just a little bit better, even though Hudson took an early lead 2 minutes into the third period on a Grady Gornick goal. And then in the middle of the period, Sam Hansen tied it, and then make his presence known even a little bit more. With less than 2 minutes left, he scored the game winner. So Sam Hansen had 2 goals in that game. One interesting thing on the week for Eau Claire Memorial is they played 2 games. They won both games by 4-3 counts. The first one on Tuesday against Eau Claire North. And of their 8 goals, they scored 3 shorthanded goals. And I believe I looked it up, and I think they were 2nd in the state in shorthanded goals. I don't remember. It was either 7 or 9. I think Fox City's was first, but it's like they almost played better when they were on the PK, getting those shorties. And the Hudson-Eau Claire Memorial game, Hudson actually outshot the Old Abes 34-18 in that game. Trevor Hootie played very well. He had 31 saves in the game for Eau Claire Memorial. It was a really good game. They didn't have as big of a crowd as they did the previous game. Eau Claire North and Eau Claire Memorial at Hobbs Inner City Rivalry, they said there was about 1,000 people there. They estimated there to be about probably 500 or 600 for this Hudson-Eau Claire game, but it's very exciting. The people got their money's worth, and then they got to go outside in the very cold weather. But while they were in the rink, they saw a lot of hot action between two very good teams in that area, and at least for today, or Thursday as it was, Eau Claire Memorial proved to be just a little bit better, taking the game from number one Hudson.
Trasher, what's the deal with Eau Claire Memorial? I compile the top 10. I take your votes. I take the coaches' votes. I add it all up. Eau Claire Memorial is pretty solidly in the 4 through 7 position on like all the ballots, but they're sort of all over the place. Like you said, they got outshot in this game 34-18. At the showdown in Titletown, technically it was a tie with Wausau West. They won in a shootout. They got outshot 50-something to 20-something. And then they lost the following game to Madison Edgewood. What's the deal? What's going on here?
Good question. I think if we knew the answer, you know, we could talk to Coach Swengler and maybe, you know, he'd never lose another game again. I mean, I certainly can't say that it's a young team, because I believe they have about 7 or 8 seniors on the team. They have a lot of leadership, good, solid experience. I don't really know why. There seems to be a little inconsistency. I'm not really sure. Not really sure. I know they have a solid team, and it seems to be like the rest of the top 10 or even the rest of the top 20. You've seen it all year long. They win a game and then play a game that they're supposed to win and lose. You know, we saw that last week with a couple of teams. So, I mean, this is just, I think, a year for the books. I have no idea.
Seems like they're having all the same success they usually do. You know, just a couple of losses, but it seems like they're fighting it in a way they haven't had to before. Even their 6-3 win over Notre Dame in Green Bay, they gave up almost 40 shots in that game.
Yeah, the one thing that I'm wondering about maybe is losing Ty Emberson, how much that really hurts them, because they were much more solid. You know, with his presence, I mean, let's face it, he's one of the nation's, and if not one of the world's top defensemen. And, I mean, you lose a kid of that caliber, and, I mean, obviously, you know, somebody's got to step up, and, you know, you miss that. I mean, you guys know that as well as I do, or even better, when you lose a player of that quality, it's, you know, maybe takes a little bit to get back on track, and maybe... You know, maybe that's part of it. Hard to say.
You think maybe one of the things it could be, guys, that some of the rest of the league or teams around them have caught up to them a little bit in terms of talent. Hudson's pretty good. Eau Claire North's pretty good. Chippewa Falls is good this year. I mean, for them to even just talk about sectional play, they're going to really have to battle to come out of that sectional this year. And in a lot of years where they've kind of cruised, been able to get through it, you know, unscathed, they may have to play their best hockey just to get out of it this year, because there's some teams that can take them out.
Well, yeah, I definitely agree with you there, but I think this is a team. Okay, so we looked at them early in the year, and they were ranked up fairly high, and then they kind of bounced around a little bit and maybe dropped off a little bit. But they got players like Sam Hansen, I think, he's a big kid. He's 6'2", 190, a senior. Dawson Schwengler is a senior. They got Sam Jockumson, who's a senior, and Sam Graskamp, Charlie's brother, who's also a senior. They have some good players, good, solid players. And I think they just got back Josh Berg, a defenseman, a junior. He had missed a whole bunch of games, and I think he's back in like his second or third game or something, trying to get back into game shape. And so here you have a TW defenseman. So this is probably a part of it too then. You know, he's just getting back into game shape, and maybe as he gets into that, the team will, that kind of, you know, shore up those defensive, the blue line a little bit. So, you know, that could all be part of it.
And I would just want to point out that that was the first time all season that Hudson has allowed more than two goals.
Well, they got Chase Blackman back there. That's a pretty good start right there. Radisson Madison Players of the Week. Burglar's going to tell us about them. The Radisson of Madison is Madison's premier Westside hotel, the official state tournament home of Wisconsin prep hockey. And, Bill, we got a couple winners, boys and girls, and we've talked about one, but we'll start out with the boys' winner this week.
Okay, MJ, we can do that. And it's the first, well, not a first for us completely, but a first for the season. Doesn't happen all that often, but our boys' player of the week is a defenseman. Yay, defenseman, underrated, always overlooked. Unless they score a bunch of points. At this time, he gets our player of the week because he scored a bunch of points. Elijah Tormala from Arrowhead is our boys' player of the week. He didn't have a goal, but he had two assists in the 5-3 Arrowhead win over Janesville on Thursday night. And then on Saturday, in a 3-2 Arrowhead win over Fond du Lac Springs, he had a hand in all the scoring with two goals and an assist. So a defenseman, our boys' player of the week, Elijah Tormala. On the girls' side, as you said, she was talked about earlier, from Hudson, a forward, Anna Wilgren is our girls' Radisson Madison player of the week. In Trashers' game of the week, Trashers' game, the 8-6 win over the ECA Stars, Anna had four goals and three assists, contributing on seven of the eight goals for Hudson. And then in the 6-0 win over Black River Falls, she had two goals and an assist. So Anna Wilgren from Hudson, a junior forward, is our girls' Radisson Madison player of the week. And I think, MJ, you got some statistics to tabulate for us.
Do I?
Well, if you don't, you'll tell us who will.
Oh, okay. Talking about our top tens.
That's it.
Bill Jr., this is the area where you excel big time. Our top 10 boys and girls for this week. And I don't know if this has ever happened on the boys' side, but this is a rarity, needless to say. And, well, go ahead and tell us about it.
Well, it isn't common, MJ, but it has happened on the boys' side several times. We have a tie for number one. As can happen with polls and a bunch of people voting. Tied for the top spot this week are Hudson and Wausau West. Third is Spash. Fourth is Arrowhead. Fifth is Eau Claire Memorial. Sixth is Waukesha. Seventh is Nina Hortonville Menasha. Eighth is Fox Cities. Ninth is the Chippewa Falls Cardinals. And tenth is Appleton United. Honorable mention for the boys are Antigo, Eau Claire North, Homestead, University School, and West Salem. For the girls, Central Wisconsin is still number one, Bay Area 2, Hayward 3, Eau Claire Altoona 4, Hudson 5, Fond du Lac 6, St. Croix Valley 7, USM is 8th, Metrolinx are 9th, and Rock County Fury is 10th. One honorable mention for the girls, that was Appleton United. Yeah, it's not common, but we do see ties for the boys at the top spot every now and then. There was a couple years ago, I remember, Wausau West and Eau Claire Memorial were tied in the top spot after having split their two regular season meetings, both of which went to overtime at that point. And I believe at that point, neither of them had lost to anybody else. That's the most recent one I remember.
So, Bill, do you think MJ was making a pun, or you think it was an accident?
It was definitely an accident.
Okay. He doesn't know that you keep track of this on an Excel spreadsheet?
That is correct. Copy-paste, it does the math for me.
There you go. You know, what do you guys see here in the boys and girls top tens? Is there any team that you're kind of looking at and say, well, Kind of surprised, a little bit surprised. Any surprises in any way?
Not surprising, but there's a whole heap of the Badgerland Conference in there. Nina Horton, Vilma Nash, Fox Eadies, and Appleton United. They're all in the bottom half, but they're all in the top 10. And now, looking at, if you break it out into the honorable mention, there's four teams from the Big Rivers. Hudson in the top spot, then Eau Claire Memorial and Chippewa Falls at 5th and 9th, and Eau Claire North in the honorable mention. A couple conferences are just getting it done. Usually if you're going to see, you know, three teams from one conference in the top 10, it's Wausau West, Bash, and Wisconsin Rapids, historically.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not anything down here in the Big 8, because these teams down here have just been beating each other up left and right. I look here, though, I see Arrowhead, and I guess Carl Vallemont coming back, been his second or third season back with the Warhawks, and has already got them playing at a high level of hockey, which they weren't doing when he wasn't there. I don't know if it's coincidence or what the case may be, but Arrowhead sneaking back into the top 10 and been moving up, it looks like. They've been able to stay up there now and come in at number 4. Waukesha, tough loss the other last Friday, I believe it was, against Waupun, a 5-4 loss, but still holding in at number 6.
And if you look at the U.S. High School Hockey Online power rankings, Arrowhead's actually number 1 overall on their ranking, and they actually have a half-point lead over Wausau West at number 2, and at this point in the season, half a point on those rankings is actually kind of a big buffer. Wausau West and Stevens Point are actually tied in the second spot behind Arrowhead on that ranking. And on the stack rankings, they actually have Fox Cities in the top spot, owing to the fact that Fox Cities is just walloping a fair portion of their competition right now. Arrowhead's in the third spot on that one. Both of them have Wausau West in the number 2 spot, however.
Well, you mentioned, you know, conferences, you know, a couple of teams with 4 teams in there. Well, I mean, the Classic 8 isn't far behind with Arrowhead, Waukesha in the top 10, and University School in the honorable mention. So we're seeing some good hockey coming out of the Milwaukee area. So, yeah, things have kind of shifted a little bit.
You don't see much out of the Madison area at this point, talking about the Big 8 conference. Badger North, Badger South, things have looked to settle down a little bit over there. And
I don't see a single team from Badger North, Badger South, or the Big Eight in the top 10 or honorable mention.
Yeah, Middleton was in the honorable mentions last week, but voters seem to have forgotten about them this week.
Go ahead, Del.
Go ahead, MJ. You guys, you're still on the boys' side, and I'm going to talk about the girls just a little bit when you're done.
You just wait for that.
Okay, well, my final thing about that was, like I said, you look at the Big 8, and all these teams are just beating each other up. I mean, Madison West beats Verona 1-0. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's just the year it's been in the Big 8 Conference. Nothing's guaranteed. Nobody is... Nobody is safe on any given night in the Big 8, except maybe if you play the Eastside Lakers, and God forbid they've struggled this year, but, you know, looks like they still come to practice. They still, you know, play the best they can, and, you know, unfortunately it's a tough year in the Big 8. Delmar, you want to talk about the girls?
Yeah, I know some people, you know, that haven't really paid a lot of attention. They just look at the rankings and then the records. And I know you're going to have some people wondering a little bit about Central Wisconsin with 3 losses, while Bay Area sitting there at number 2 and not having suffered a loss yet. But Central Wisconsin's 3 losses this year, their first 2 losses actually came during the holiday break when they were over in Blaine, Minnesota in the Schwann Cup, and they lost to Bismarck, North Dakota, and then Forest Lake, who is currently ranked number 11 in the Minnesota Girls 2A. And then they lost just this past Friday playing Princeton at the Amory Ice Rink. And they lost that game 4-1, and I believe Princeton's ranked like number 6 or 7 in that range in the 1A rankings over in Minnesota. So they're tough competition, but, you know, all out of state. Bay Area, you know, sat there, they've got a few ties this year. And actually, when you look at the girls' rankings, there's a few teams that have some ties this year. But, yeah, there's going to be some interesting games. And this next Saturday, Bay Area is actually hosting Fond du Lac, and what should be a really good game up there at Cornerstone.
Hey, guys, the one question that people are probably going to ask when in 10 minutes when this poll is finalized is, how is it that Hudson beat Eau Claire Altoona yet is behind them in the rankings, and neither team moved from the previous week?
I don't have an answer for that, but, you know, actually I did see that about 10 minutes ago, but I thought that maybe, you know, not looking back at the past poll, that maybe might have something to do with it, but for either team to not move, that just seems very odd.
Well, it's I think it's mostly a north-south thing. The teams in the southern part of the state, they don't, it's not like a bias thing, but like the teams on the north don't move as much on their ballots week to week. Like they've decided that this team is, you know, number 2 or number 3 or whatever, and then they just kind of stay there until something significant happens, until they go down south and play and beat somebody down there. If two northern teams beat up on each other, it doesn't affect their ranking very much with the southern voters. On the same token, if two southern teams beat up on each other, it doesn't affect their ranking as much with the northern voters. It's really in their area that it really seems to affect things.
And Junior, well, Junior being from the south, I hate to say this, but I totally agree with you. It makes all the sense in the world.
And for the games that were played by the top 10 teams, the girls' side, last week, I believe, if my Nakusa math is serving me right here, they were 14-2-2 with the Storm taking a loss. And to the, I think, Dell, the team that they played, I believe, were ranked 9th. Princeton, I believe, was 9th in 1A, but still a pretty good, solid team. And ECA Stars losing to number 5, Hudson. So, I mean, there was absolutely no movement in the top 10. Everybody stayed right where they were, which is what Trasher likes when he has to re-up the polls here. So, pretty solid week for the teams in the top 10, and I think they're entrenching, or if that's the word, firmly entrenching themselves in place and getting ready for the playoffs. So pecking order is yet to maybe be established, but I think it's heading in that direction.
Guys, you know, the end of the season, the final week of the season is 1 month away. I mean, there's still a lot of hockey to be played in a very short amount of time, so this thing could all be turned around, but
are you going to get sentimental on this? No,
no, no, no, no, okay. No. I'm just saying that there's still plenty of hockey to be played, but at the same time, you know, we're running out of time in the season, so no, I don't want to get sentimental at all. So I want to come back to a funny story, but our games of the week that we got coming up this week, on the boys' side, tomorrow night I'll be down in Beloit as they take on the Kenosha Thunder in the Section 7 pair of teams matching up. And on the girls' side, Thursday, the Northern Edge is taking on Point Rapids, and Mr. Terzinski will be more than happy to cover that game for us. And we'll have pictures, we'll have stories and reaction after those two games. So check out Wisconsin Prep Hockey. Guys,
those would be the Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Games of the Week, right?
Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Games of the Week, as my counterpart is on top of that. Guys, I heard a funny story. Heard a funny story this weekend up at the tournament I was at in Rhinelander. Back on Thursday, Janesville and Arrowhead got together, and as most teams do when they have a JV team, they'll bring their JV team over, and the JV will play, and the varsity will play, and so on and so on. Well, it just so happens that Janesville's goaltender, Owen Aldrich, had the flu. And he couldn't play for obvious reasons. He's sick. Arrowhead loaned out one of their JV goalies. And Janesville won 3-1. So that backup goalie beat his own team in that game. I just kind of thought that was kind of funny.
That is funny. I mean, I've seen that happen here in Antigo, because generally they'll have two goalies. One of them will be varsity, one will be JV. But yeah, and if one of them is out, a player can only play in five periods
right.
On a day, you know. So if you get the varsity game and the JV game, well, he can play two periods of the varsity game. So I've seen Antigo, you know, suit up a skater in goalie pads to play the first period of a JV game. It hasn't been pretty always. But yeah, I've never seen anybody, you know, the other team loan them a goalie.
Well, I guess you want some playing time. I guess that's one way to get it. So,
yeah,
but on Saturday, the same situation, I guess he was still sick and Janesville had to use two guys from their varsity roster, had to split time in that game, and they were winners over Stoughton. So, flu probably going around a little bit, but goalies being able to get filled in by whether it's somebody on their roster or even somebody from the other JV team. Kind of thought that was neat that Arrowhead would loan out one of their goalies.
Yeah, it is.
I'll give them some ice time.
Yep. And in a JV game, it's like a fancy practice anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just kind of thought that was kind of neat. So I guess, guys, that's just kind of one of my.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were going to wrap up because I just wanted to make an observation before we wrap up, even though I didn't say I was going to make a final thought. But over the weekend, I watched the semifinal game and then the championship game of the World Junior Hockey Tournament that the United States won, beating Canada in a shootout. And I just thought after the game, the talking heads they have on there.
On the Canadian network?
No, it was on the NHL network. Not Stevie Weeks, not Ricky Weeks, the former goalie.
Kevin Weeks.
And their studio guy and, you know, another guy who was on the sideline thing. And they're talking and they're talking about, you know, what this is going to mean for, you know, youth hockey in the United States, you know, how this is going to increase, you know, the participation. You think it's going to be a big boon for, you know, youth hockey in the United States, them winning this junior thing. And you know, I've seen, and Bob was here and we're watching that and it's like, what are they talking about? I mean, nobody, it's on the NHL network, so you have to have the NHL network to even see it. And nobody except diehard hockey fans is even paying attention to the World Junior thing. So, I mean, yes, diehard hockey fans, but it's not like the 1980 Olympics, you know, where everybody was watching and saw that game. I mean, other than diehard hockey fans, who is even paying attention to this? So I can't, I mean, it's great that they won it, but I just don't see that being, you know, another big wave, you know, of excitement for hockey, you know, for youth hockey in the United States. And it just brought me to realize that, you know, you can like hockey, you can watch hockey and stuff, but you shouldn't pay any attention to what these people who analyze hockey and talk about hockey, whether it's on TV, on the radio, or some silly internet podcast, these people that just, you know, think they know what they're talking about and just spout all this stuff about hockey, they're usually just full of crap.
Hey, I do know that Thursday night when I was at Hobbs, sitting up in that very nice press area, by the way, the guy sitting next to me was the sports dude for WEAU TV 13, and he was actually kind of watching on his laptop streaming of that game in between periods. So somebody was
a hockey fan.
Yes, I mean, exactly. Yes, kind of proved the point.
Hockey fan, so yeah. you're not increasing your market base.
No, you're probably not, but maybe he meant to say, well, we picked up two fans or something because they heard about it. So, well, yes, then in that case, they did.
Well, even then, guys, I mean, it was on the NHL Network. I mean, so many people probably don't know anything about the NHL Network, but those games were on the NHL Network. Now, in 1980, when you had the U.S. in the Olympics. I mean, the Olympics are a whole different thing from the World Junior Championships. But in the Olympics that year, I mean, you watched it on primetime television. You watched them beat the Soviets. I mean, it just...
still was live.
Yeah, but we didn't. I mean, yeah, but there was no internet then, so not many people knew the outcome before it was telecast.
Yeah, well, it's... Yeah, I see the point you're making, though, Bill, because, I mean, it's a different time, different era, and there's so many other channels, and, of course, no network in their right mind is probably going to pick up, you know, the World Junior Championships except the NHL Network, because that's what they do. They do hockey. So.
Yeah, like, did it get a mention on SportsCenter? And if it did, was it longer than 30 seconds?
I don't watch SportsCenter. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I didn't watch SportsCenter that night either, so probably not. But if it's not on SportsCenter, it's not, you know, officially sports.
I can tell you it wasn't in the paper in Wichita.
I can tell you this much. When they start showing poker as a sport, that was the end of me. I quit watching just for that reason. I tipped my hand there.
He did it again. Only this time I think he did it on purpose.
Yeah, he knew this time.
All right, guys, anything else you got to say, or is it time to go home?
Me.
You think we're through here?
I think we're more than through here.
All right. Well, somebody's warming up the bus, so hey, come back next week and check us out again. Any hate mail or anything, Trasher@WisconsinPrepHockey.net. So send him your mail. And he'll be more than happy to answer any questions you got. So for the Berg boys, Delmar, who's going to be gone next week from the podcast, I believe. Right, Del?
Yep, I'm actually taking care of some other business.
Okay. He'll be on assignment.
Out in Las Vegas. What a place. So for Delmar, the two Berg boys, Trasher, I'm Mike Hammett. Check us out next week. You've been listening to This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey.